Welcome to the Release City Church podcast. We hope this message today inspires you, strengthens your faith, and helps give you perspective to see how God is moving in your life. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Well, we've shown that video a couple times throughout the course of this series, and I just felt like as we were getting ready to wind down, today will be the final installment to this series, I felt like I wanted to close out with such a powerful, bold statement that we are the church. Say it with me. Say, we are the church. And it's true, today is the final installment of this series, Will You Carry It? I encourage you to find something to take notes with, write it down. Today will be probably one of the most powerful messages, I think, from this entire series as we kind of wrap it all up, tie it with a bow, and get ready to go out and do exactly what God has asked of us. So today is part 7. And through this series, I believe God has been teaching us as a church how not to just come to church, not just to come to a building, but how we are called, commanded to go outside of this building and be the church. Everybody say, be the church. And so here's what I believe. That what we've been given, ladies and gentlemen, is no good if everything that we get inside this building is not shared with those that we come in contact with outside the building. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's not any good if all we do is love the people who love us back. It's not any good if the only time that my faith is activated is when I'm around the people who think like me, talk like me, look like me, sound like me. It's not any good. As a matter of fact, it's useless if the only people that we're around throughout the week are people who don't smell like us. Let me say it this way, because that didn't come out right. It's useless if we're not hanging out with people who smell like smoke and have a little sin in their life. Amy and I were listening to a podcast this morning, and she walked in the room and just made a statement and said, isn't that the guy that has been said to have been hanging out with? And I said, and she was just asking an honest question. I said, you do remember that it was the religious people, it was the church of the day that actually crucified Jesus because they didn't like that he was hanging out with sinners. I don't know where we got this thing wrong that we got to come in here, have a holy huddle, and hide from the rest of the world. Because the last time I checked, ain't not a single person in this room perfect. Y'all just may do a better job of hiding your sin than other people do. Hello, somebody. Oh, yeah, this is edgy pastor. I took a week off, and I'm bringing all the edge today. Amen? You ready for it? It's not a dull edge. Listen, none of this is any good if we've been called to be a hospital, but we have no sick people that we hang around. This message of hope is no good if we're unwilling to share it with those outside the building who desperately need hope. I mean, you turn on the news, you look at your news. I'm almost to the point where I don't even want my social media anymore because for some reason, you can't control everything that comes up in your news feed. I don't know. I spend more of my time looking at your families less time looking at your families and more time of looking at all the things that they think I should be interested in. It's not any good if all the scriptures that we read just live in our head and not in our lives. We've got to, you may be the only Bible someone ever gets to see. It's not any good if the power of the Holy Spirit only gets activated when I'm at an altar, but he doesn't get activated when I'm in the streets. So as we begin, I want to ask a question today. How many have ever showed up at a church service and you just felt like you needed God to point to you or give you some direction for an area of your life? Anybody in the room ever been to a service when you say, God, I need you to speak. I need you to give me a straight up. I need to know exactly what you have for me today. Speak to me. Anybody show up today with, God, I need clear direction for my life. If you brought your Bibles, I'm going to give you some direction today. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 19, Luke. Chapter 19, I just want to recognize some of my dearest friends in the entire world. every doggone time. Tony, you can't turn the waterworks on. I want to introduce to you guys, some of y'all know them, they're our family, but Tony, Tarver, and Angie, and Carson, you guys stand. I got something I want to share with you. Y'all give it up, Release City family. These are our dear friends. I served in ministry with alongside of Angie for years in worship at the church that I was on staff at for a number of years, and I actually facilitated their wedding, and so we have a connection, and it's always an honor and a privilege when they come into the house, into our home. But the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you, He's got you in this season. And He'll continue to have you in the next. I don't know what that means, but when I was getting ready to walk out, He said, you tell them, I've had them, and I have them now, and I'll continue in the next. Amen. So if anything, you rest on the fact that He, has it always been easy? No, ma'am. No, sir. But you've watched your parents stay true and faithful to who they are, not changing, and true to who He has called them to be. Continue to set that in His life. So rest on what He's brought you out of and walked you through. And then know that He's got you now, and there is a new season that's coming. I don't know what that looks like. I have no details. All I know is He said, I've had them, I've got them, and I'll have them in the next. Amen. Amen. Come on, give Jesus Christ praise. I just believe when you come hungry for something of God, He'll speak directly to you. Matter of fact, that came to me, Angie, during worship, even though the noise of the room in worship, I heard your heart for worship. After all these years, I can still identify her voice, Tony. I can still hear it out of all the room. And that's when He said, you tell them, I've had them, I've got them, and in the next season, I'll continue to have them. Amen. It was in that cry of worship, whatever it is, that's what He said. Amen. Luke chapter 19, are you there? Says this, verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and made His way through the town. Somebody say, He's on the move. I like when Jesus is on the move. Verse 2, there was a man there named Zacchaeus. Just any vacation Bible school people, remember what kind of man Zacchaeus was? There you go. He was a wee little man. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. Not much has changed. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he had ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Anybody remember the cartoon Curious George? I'm not so sure that Zacchaeus was truly in a place where he wanted to change his life, but I believe that he was curious. He's wanting to find out, who is this Jesus that everybody is talking about? He hears that Jesus is going to pass by this certain street, and because he was so short and the crowd was so great, he had to climb a tree just to see Jesus. I think it's interesting to note that Jesus will notice you if you'll just take a little bit of action. So many people need Jesus. So many people are desperate for an answer, but they won't do anything to get His attention. There's probably somebody laying in a bed right now, not on vacation, just in their bed at home. They won't even take a little initiative to say, Jesus, I'm putting You first today because I need something from You today. And so for those that actually showed up today, He's going to fill you. Did you come hungry? Amen. Let's keep reading. Verse 5. When Jesus came by, He looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, He said, come down. I must be a guest in your house today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and looked and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. Remember what I said earlier, that it was the crowd that didn't like the fact that Jesus wasn't hanging out with them. He was actually hanging out with people that stole from them. Sinners that did them wrong. He said, but the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. Lord, if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this house today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. It said, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. I think it's amazing that Zacchaeus hasn't lived any of his life like Father Abraham, yet Jesus sees past his actions and into his heart. Can I tell you that Jesus sees your heart today? Amen. It said, Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. Amen. Father, help me to articulate and share this message today in such a way that provides hope and healing, and may it stir within all of us the desire and the passion to take this message outside the walls of this room. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. As we begin diving in, I want to clarify something or clean up perhaps a misguided definition of the word church. It's used very loosely in today's culture. But today I want to give you the biblical definition of the word church. Not your definition, not my definition, not another pastor's definition. I want to give you the definition of church based on the Bible. Everybody say the Bible. This word is a Greek word that is known as ekklesia. And it's referring to the church, which literally means the called out ones. Write that down. It is the called out ones. That's the definition. People who have been called out. Now, we established at the beginning of the series that church is not a building. Yes, we have a sign out front that says, Release City Church, this place is temporary. Soon and very soon, we will move from this location. But the church is not a building. Matter of fact, the church is not an event. The church is not a selected service time, 10:30 for us. Church is not an event. The church is a collection of people. As a matter of fact, the Bible refers to the church as a place. The Bible does not refer to the church as a place. It refers to the church as a people who have been called out from what? People who have been called out of bondage, people who have been called out of sin, people who have been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light, people who have been called out of the world system and into God's kingdom. Let me take it a step further. People who have been called out not just from something, but for someone. I want to land right here. This is where I'm going to land today. You were not saved just so that you could miss hell and make heaven. You were not saved so that you could come into a church room or building and feel comfortable. He saved you for someone else. And when you get a hold of that concept, because we live in a generation, is you do you, boo. You take care of you. What do they say? Well, if you don't look out for you, nobody else will. I'm here today to tell you that is the exact opposite of the way the kingdom works. I want to live my life poured out. I want to live my life in a way that I'm so generous and that I'm so giving and that I'm thinking of others before myself. And can I just tell you, at 50 years of age, I'm just now getting to a place where that actually is the case. Burton Mill, y'all know. Y'all saw me grow up as a little selfish little teenage brat. I'll say the word. You can be loving and kind to me. But I, when we first reconnected, I was like, thank you guys so much for all the years of putting up with me as I grew up. And I'm still growing up. Amen. I'm saying it for those that are sitting on that bench over there. Still growing up. Because that's just how I want to live the rest of my life. I want to live my life like Jesus. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to this earth to serve others. He came to lay down his life. He is the greatest example. Yeah, but somebody said, but he was God. He was fully God, but he was also fully man, fully human. Amen. And what you need to understand is, if you're looking for somebody to model your life after, look at Jesus. Somebody said, well, I don't want to die on a cross. You don't have to. It's already been done. But he did show you how to die to yourself and your desires so that you can give to someone else. Amen. I know this might be a little tough today, but it's all right. It will change your life. Amen. Come on, somebody say, I'm being changed. Let me push this thing a little more further. The church is not a monument. It's a movement. It's not a monument. We don't want to build a church, this $3.5 million building, almost 18,000 square foot. We don't want to build it so it's a monument for people to go, oh, look at what Release is doing. No, look what God is doing. In a town that most people wouldn't come to. This is not Disney World. This is where they pass through to go to the happiest place on earth, to get gas and eat at our Bill's restaurant. Amen. It's a testament that the world can see, hey, you know what? There are people who understand this Bible and they actually think that it's true. And you know what? They're living by it. We want to live a life and we want to be a church that's poured out for our community. We are not just a church in our city. We are a church for our city. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. See, this is where things get confusing and messed up. Because a lot of people, I've heard people say things like, yeah, I've tried church. But church is messy. Yes, it is. I've heard people even go, yeah, that church, the church is corrupt. Perhaps. The church is hypocritical. Absolutely. The church is so jacked up. You're right again. Great job, Sherlock. Look to that person beside you and go, jacked up. Some of y'all like that way too much. See, this one. The church makes all kinds of mistakes. Yes, it does. See, every one of those statements are true. Anybody ever said, I've been church hurt, ever said that? I know I've said that before. Listen, everything that I said, messy, corrupt, hypocritical, jacked up, those are true statements about the church. But listen, the church is not a place. The church, I've been church hurt. The church is a people. And the last time I checked, people are confused, corrupt, messy, hypocritical, and jacked up and continue to make jacked up choices. So when people say the church is hypocritical or it's corrupt, that's because the church is not a building and it's not what the sign is. You are the church. Amen. So we got a lot of work to do. Yeah. But I also read in my Bible that God is coming back for a church that is without spot or wrinkle, which tells me that this word has been sent forth. Listen, it will accomplish that which it was set out to do. I may not be spot-free and wrinkle-free right now, but because I'm laying down my life for the cause of Christ and I'm allowing him to do whatever he wants in this vessel. Amen. By the end, when he comes back for Bradley Wayne, I will be seen without spot or wrinkle. That's the goal. That's the mission. What are you living for? I think I asked that question at the beginning of this series. What are you living for? Are you living for your mission or his mission? I used to hear Dad talk like this all the time, and I was like, Dad, you're just old, is what I'm thinking. I didn't mean it in a disrespectful, and I didn't tell him that, but that's what I was thinking in my mind in my 20s. I'm doing it. I'll do it my way. But as I'm getting older, I'm seeing my way didn't really work most of the time. But when I stepped in line and got aligned with his way, my life took on a whole new nature and a whole new being. I still get to enjoy life. I'm not a priest. I'm not a pope. I'm not a bishop. I'm not knocking them. I'm just a dude who said, you know what? Without Jesus, my life is nothing. And I've made all kinds of decisions on my own. And he loved me through them. And then looked at me and said, you don't have to. It doesn't have to be like this. When you do it my way, God's way is always better. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that, church? Amen. Listen, I may be jacked up, but my life is so much better with Jesus and all this mess around me and all this stuff that's going on, I believe, according to his word, will work in my favor. Listen, if I mess up tomorrow, he will not leave me and he will not forsake me. He still got me. Does anybody know what kind of God I'm talking about in this building? Do you know it to be true in your own life? All right, let's keep unpacking this thing. So if I can't go to a church, I know this is tripping some of y'all out. Come to church with me. If I can't go to church, but I can gather as the church, then the next question is, why do we gather? Maybe you want to write that. Why do we gather? It's not for potluck Sundays. It's not for dinner on the grounds. It's not for bowling nights. It's not for marriage conferences. It's not for youth events. Why do we gather? See, unfortunately, a lot of Christians, they gather for the wrong reasons. Let me ask you. This is for you to answer inside. Do we meet for more miracles? The answer is no. That's not why we meet. As a matter of fact, there are 37 known recorded miracles in the Bible. But here's what's astonishing. Only two of them he did inside the church or at the temple. Out of all those, which tells me if he sent Jesus to come down to do the miracles and they had to be inside the church, how come only two of them were inside the church? See, he's always been trying to get us outside of these moments. Let me just stop right here and say this. Don't mistake what I'm saying that you don't need to come to church. And I'm not, you know, people say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't. But it's going to be a lot harder when you're out there trying to do it on your own without a team, without a family. Some of the darkest days of my life, and I'll just say this, the darkest days of my life, I made it through those years back in 2020 because of family. So you go out and try to do it on your own. I can't guarantee you you'll make it. I know that I would not have. I would have pulled the plug over and over and over if I didn't have people in my inbox, in my email, in my phone, sending a text or calling or showing up. That's what family is about. It's more than just showing up on Sunday and getting your goosebump feel. I love that song. Ooh, Becca did it great today. Drop my dollar in the collection plate. Amen. I'm feeling good liking this message today as long as it gets us out by 12. No. God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. I need my spirit renewed every day. I come in contact with crazy all the time. Just like you do. How do you handle crazy? When we arrive back at the port, after 6 days of unbelievable just rest and relaxation, which was deserved, by the way, to walk back to my vehicle with a note from the Tampa PD on my car, and I thought, but I didn't know it was Tampa PD. I thought it was somebody who must have dinged my car and they left their insurance information. But it was actually Tampa PD with their number and a case file, and I'm looking around my car, and I see that someone had used one of those and exploded, tried to get in my car and steal stuff. And they'll tell you, because I usually tell y'all, when things get nuts, I go nuts. In life, when life starts lifing and gets crazy, sometimes my tongue gets out of the way. I said, very little. Matter of fact, nobody in the car, once we got it cleaned up to get us to a place, because we looked at weather.com and we saw there's going to be rain, we got to patch all this up so we can get it home. Got to wear sunglasses because shards of glass are going everywhere. It was quiet in the car. And Adam reaches around and goes, hey, man, are you good? Because you ain't said nothing. You know what that is? You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of me that says, it's going to be okay. I know some of y'all think it was just a car. There is not a lot that makes you feel invaded or taken advantage of than somebody that tries to steal from you and break in your car. Happened on a Tuesday, and my car was unprotected for the next 5 days.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. You're right, girl. Father, relocate the Tarvers in Jesus. Maybe the next season's Chiefland. Amen. I'm just kidding. What am I saying? I'm preaching to you not what sounds good, but what I know to be true. God, a surrendered life to Him can change everything. It may not cause everything to go right, but when things are wrong, you can still walk right and you can still walk straight. What's wrong? Come on, somebody. Listen, based on the facts, Jesus did His best work in real life situations, not in religious places. That's what I'm trying to say. He did it in the streets, in homes, on the water, not in the synagogue. See, I'm convinced that Jesus does His best work in broken places. What's that? In the streets, in broken homes, in hospitals, in prison cells. Why? Because that's where hurting, broken people are. Amen. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. We're actually supposed to release miracles, not keep begging for them. What am I saying? Listen, you don't have to wait till Sunday for the elders and the pastor to come and pray with you. We will. That's what we're called to do. But you have the power of the Holy Spirit, the miracle working power on the inside of you. You can tap into it on Monday, Tuesday, all the way to, He's still a God that works on Saturday. But can I get a miracle at church? Absolutely. But that's not why we gather. I've heard people say, if I can just make it to Sunday. If you can just make it to the bedside and drop to your knees and say, God, I surrender all right now. It's Tuesday. I can't wait till Sunday. I need a miracle right now. Amen. So you can get a miracle in church, but that's not why we gather. Well, do we gather to be fed? Is that why we gather? We absolutely get fed. But if you only come to get fed, what will happen is this. You'll get full, but not freed. You'll be the fat cat Christian, still living in bondage. My first point is this. If you only come to get fed, you'll get full, but you won't get free. Here's what I mean. Food is fuel, but freedom is for function. I've never met a prisoner or somebody who's done any time in prison who gets released and just goes home and sits at the house unless they're on house arrest. No, they get out on the streets and they get to doing all the stuff they didn't used to get to do. So you can come in here and get fed, yeah. But you need to come in here and get free. That's what God is trying to do with you. It's not trying to get you to become a fat Christian. He wants you to be a free Christian. Not a Christian who's bound by religious traditions. Not in this house. Let me say it this way. If you've been delivered, but you're not active, are you really free? If you've been delivered, but you're not doing something with your deliverance, are you really free? Because something still got a hold of you. A lot of Christians come to church and they put the pressure on the pastor to feed them. When truthfully, they've been attending so long, they should know how to do it themselves. I go to some restaurants and I'll be like, my wife can cook this better than y'all. And I'm paying y'all. Are you tracking me? I say this all the time. If the only time that you're spiritually fed is when you come in here on Sundays, you are dangerously malnourished. Amen. Spiritually. I think we do come to get fed, but I think God is more interested in us experiencing freedom. And in case you forgot, going out was actually the final instruction that Jesus gave to His disciples before He had descended back to heaven. Go out. See, I think we've misunderstood the mission for far too long. What am I saying? God is way more interested in us going than us coming. He is not sitting up in heaven doing a checklist. Well, they showed up today. Jonathan's at church today. I'm not saying it's not important, because it is. Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling. Make sure you get together. But He's more concerned with what you're doing when you leave. If we just come in here every week and we do the same thing and there's no change and we go out and have the same week, I'm not saying your circumstances or will change. They may or they may not. But the way you look at them and the way you handle them, when somebody takes advantage and breaks into your home or breaks into your personal belongings, the way you handle that will be like the character of Christ. I always go back to that. Amen. How are we responding? See, we don't come in here to hide from the world. As a matter of fact, we meet here so that he can launch us into the world. So the question we need to be asking is this, and I'm bringing this thing down. Why do we gather? Why do we meet? We meet together. This goes all the way back to one of Dad's messages. Why do we meet? We meet together so we don't drift. He preached a message many years ago on the dangers of drifting. You know what drifting, NASCAR fans, isn't that what they call that, drifting? When you drafting, with that too, okay, drifting away, but drafting. Let me, because this is what he just showed me. I just got my words mixed up. That when you fall in behind somebody and you're drafting, and they're you're being pulled by them. Oh, I just said it. You're being pulled by them. A lot of Christians are they're not just drifters. They're drafters. If I can just get in behind them, and I'll start feeling what they're. You don't have to. You can be on fire for Jesus just as much as me. Well, I'll just get behind Pastor B. If I can just get some of that. No, don't get none of mine. Get your own. He lives on the inside. I'm not trying to put the emphasis on me. Whoever you look up to spiritually, you're like, man, if I could just. You can. Start denying yourself of all your fleshly desires. And what's the presence of God? A lot of times he can't flow because we got too much crap in here. Man, I can feel my heart beating with this one little vein right here inside of my head. Listen, we meet together. Here's another one. To stay aligned with the mission. So many Christians come to church and they get out of line. And the first thing that does it is their tongue. The Bible says it's like a rudder on a big cruise ship. Little bitty rudder. And it can take us all the way to Belize and Mahogany Bay and Cozumel and bring us back home. That big old ship, little bitty rudder. Your tongue can cause you to get outside of alignment. Amen, let me be clear. Jesus did not come to give us more miracles. He did not come to earth to give us more miracles. He did not come to feed people. What did it say? Luke 9:10. For the Son of Man came to what? Two things. Seek and save. Guess what our responsibility is? Because he said it. He said, greater works will you do than I've done. What was his two main responsibilities and focus? Seek and save. The main mission of Jesus on this earth was salvation. It wasn't to open up blinded eyes, although he did. It wasn't just to feed the 5,000 with a little boy's Lunchable. But he did. His main mission was salvation, to seek and save that which was lost. Without Jesus, you are lost. You may still be navigating through life, but lost. He's our compass. He's our direction. You may even experience a little success, but you're lost. Without Jesus. Somebody said, this sounds like hellfire and brimstone. You call it whatever you want to. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you are lost. Everything on the outside can look copacetic. Everything can look good. Your checking account can be packing. But if you don't know Jesus, you're packing and lost. And when you get to hell without Jesus, because that's where the Bible says you'll go, you'll leave all that in your bank account. Okay, let me move, because this ain't none of this in my notes. (Clears throat) Right before he descends into heaven, he gives the disciples the same mission. And today he brought me here and you here to hear the mission is still the same today. He did not say, stay in and get fed. He said, go out into all the world and do what? Seek and save that which was lost. So we gather together so we don't drift. What's that look like? We thank God through praise and worship. That's the first thing we did. We walk in here. Why? So we don't drift. Amen. It's saying, God, I'm thankful for everything you've done in my life. Typically, and my family knows this, anytime I pray, even over the food, first thing I always say is what? God, I thank you for your blessings. Y'all, we got to get grateful. We want God to do more, but we can't get grateful for what he's already done. That's why he said, remember where I brought you from. Remember what I walked you through. Don't lose the gratitude and the gratefulness because what I have, you can stop the flow of what he wants to do because you lost your gratitude for what he's already done. I feel the presence of the Lord up in here. It's saying, God, I'm thankful for everything you've done in my life. I thank you for everything you do in my life. Even though there's areas in my life that are still jacked up, I know that you're still God. You're still good. And I thank you for everything you've already done. God, I'm hurting, but I thank you. I don't understand why all this is happening in my life right now, but I thank you that you're working it out. I'm lonely, but I thank you. Oh, God, I got a raise. I thank you. God, you've healed my body. I thank you. Well, I hadn't got my healing yet. Then thank him in advance for what you know he's going to do. We make sure we meet so we do not drift. Why? Because when life gets to life-in, it's very easy for us to not be so sure about Jesus. When things happen, God, where were you? If he didn't think you could handle it, it wouldn't happen. Sometimes he removes things to make sure you understand that without him, you won't make it. Man, my glasses are all fogged up. Now I can't see you, so everybody smile. God, why'd you take Dad and Robin? Because he knew my heart. He knew my desire was to still, just as a little boy, God, use my life to impact the lives of others for your kingdom. He knew that deep inside of me was a desire to live that out. And he knew I would not turn my back on him. And guess what? He didn't do it to God Almighty, put these things together. He didn't leave me either. Amen. And he will never leave you, and he will not forsake you. But he is checking you today to see it, whatever you're going through. Will you turn it over to him, and will you allow God to walk with you and talk with you and remind you that yes, you are his own? So we meet together so we don't drift. We meet together so to stay aligned with the mission. And lastly, we meet together so we can be equipped for the mission. Why do I spend time during the week preparing messages and then get up here and share what God has for you or what he's given me to give to you? Why? For the mission, to equip you for the mission. But here, check this out. It's the purpose behind everything we do. This I want you to write down. I want you to understand, why is he so wound up? Why do we do what we, why do we spend money on eggs at Easter and rent all this stuff and spend thousands? Why do we do that? Can I tell you why? Here it is. We do it for the one. Not the one, the one. We do it for one. We open up the doors of this church and we open with praise and worship, and we do it for the one person who felt like giving up this week. We do it for the one. We can't change what happened to them, but what we can do is lead them into the presence of the Lord and get out of the way and then let God work in their heart and do what only He can do. It is not my responsibility to manipulate and make something happen. My responsibility is to draw you and put you and align you in the presence of God, to God the Father in the throne room, experience His presence and get out of the way and let you have a moment with your Heavenly Father. And then remind you that you just felt, you can feel it again tomorrow morning when you wake up. God, I thank you for a great night's rest. And I thank you for waking me up today. I'm ready for the mission, whatever it is. Control my tongue. Help me to control my anger. I don't know what you pray, but that's what I pray. Help me to control myself when things get out of control. Some would say I'm a control freak. Maybe. Just a little bit. It's in my DNA. Actually, it's not in the Weber DNA. I was having a conversation with Amy about that this week. If you're a man in here, it's in your DNA as a man to fix. God the Father put that inside of every one of us to fix and make things that are out of control. Somebody said, he just has control issues. No. I'm working out what God put in me, and that is if it's broke, fix it. Why do we teach messages about Jesus dying on the cross and dying for our sins and we can have an amazing life? Why? We do it for the one. Why do we host one of the largest Easter events in this Tri-County area? We do it for the one. There's always someone who says, you're just saying that because you're trying to pack a building. Correction, I'm not trying to pack a building. Why do we do this every week? Because we're trying to pack heaven. We're trying to make heaven full. We reach lost people because He left heaven to find us. Jesus did not die, did not go through the excruciating pain, and I'm almost done. He did not go through the excruciating pain on a cross for you and I to sit on our butts in a little town called Chiefland and be comfortable until He comes back. He wants us to get off our blessed assurance and get out in the streets and love people who may not love us back. Love like you've never been hurt. That's tough stuff, y'all. So God looked at Jesus in closing. God looked at Jesus and He said, in heaven, He looked at Jesus and He said, they're destroying what I created. And there's no amount of animal blood that's going to fix this. I need you to get off your throne. And I need you to get down there. And I need you to clean this up. I need you to leave your glory here. I've already said it. He told him, you're not going to be served. You're going to serve. You're going to lay down your life so that I can be reunited with my creation. I'm not going to read it today, but in the book of Luke, I encourage you. People ask me all the time, what can I read for devotions, for personal devotion times? This week, you can look at Luke 15. It's a depiction of lost things. And Luke 15 is Jesus talking to the religious people of the day, the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know why they were called Sadducees? Because they were sad, you see. Everyone, religious people are very sad because they're missing out on the true experience. They're too worried about their rules and regulations. And if someone falls out of line, let me hold you back. That is not the character of Christ. Show me that in the Bible. You won't find it. He was talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he said, everyone was asking these questions. So Jesus said, let me bring some clarity to the heart of God. So for this room today, in the last few moments we have, let me bring some clarity to who God truly is. So Jesus starts out the story, and he says, if you had 100 sheep and one got lost, wouldn't you leave the 99 for the one? Wouldn't you search all over for it? And when you found it, put it on your shoulders and carry it home, which would signify, wouldn't you take the responsibility and the inconvenience and put it on your back? We say it all the time. When you come in here, your family, if you fall in a ditch, we'll jump in there. Will you be inconvenienced and help carry the load? Will you do it for the one? Would you not go home and tell everybody, I found my sheep? And the Bible says that Jesus told them that the angels in heaven, when one person comes to know Jesus Christ, they have a party. Ain't no party like a heaven party. Because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Well, we're going to stop in just a minute. They still didn't get it. So Jesus said, maybe you have 10 coins and you lost one. Wouldn't you search the whole house for that one coin? And once you found it, wouldn't you call up all your friends and say, I got my coin? I don't know, but these days we living in, penny is worth a lot of money. Hello. They still didn't get it. So Jesus said, let me make this practical. He said, there was a father, and they knew what that meant. They knew that he was referring to the heavenly father, to God. He was talking about God the Father. He said, this father had two sons, and one of the sons came to the dad and said, I wish as if you were already dead. Can I have my inheritance? And you know the story. He gave the inheritance to the boy, and he went out and just spent it all on wild living. And the Bible says something interesting to me. After he got out there, and he was getting ready to eat the slop from a pig, and he said, the servants at my father's house are eating better than me, and I'm the son. And the Bible says something very interesting, that the boy realized, and he put this speech together, and he was just going to say, Dad, I've sinned, and I shouldn't even be your son. Just bring me back in as a servant. And the Bible says this. It says that the father sees him, the boy, as he starts making his way back to the house. He sees him from a long way off. Listen, y'all, I don't know about y'all. You can't see someone outside from a long way off if you're stuck on the inside. Amen. You can't see them from a long way off if all you're doing is got your hands, your eyes in the Red Book hymnal. Hello. Amen. That's great. Or on a screen with contemporary music. That's cool. But you can't see them if you're staring at a stage. Your eyes should be looking at the horizon. Amen. Which tells us that the Father's heart has always been outside. Amen. It's about the outside. It's about the outside. I'm good. Almost done. The Bible says that the Father runs to the Son. And the son gets ready to start his script. And he says, no, not that nonsense. He says, servants, get my son the robe. I don't want people to see him like this. Get the ring on his finger. I want everybody to know he's still family. Amen. Get the sandals for his feet. See, servants, only sons wear sandals. Servants don't. I need everybody to know he's still my son. What am I saying? Simply this. Lost things can't find themselves. There are people in your work, on your street, they're lost and they can't find the answer. You carry it. That's why this, put the logo up, Bryson. That's why this whole thing is what? Will you carry it? See, they need someone to leave the 99. They need somebody to leave this church and go after one. They need somebody to search the house for the one. They need somebody to be looking at the horizon for the one. So let me ask, how will they know unless we tell them? The contemporary Christian group Truth, way back in the day, had a song that said, how will they know unless we tell them? How can they believe something they have never heard? How will they know and how will they feel a love that's waiting? Lord, I want to go, so that they can know those who call upon the Lord will be saved. That should be your prayer today. Lord, send me. Send me. So I've got a question for you. I'm almost done. I've said it 5 times. I think I'm out. Are you watching the horizon, or are you staring at a stage? Talking to people in this building, are you looking for the one? Are you staring at a stage? Do you come in and stare during worship? Do you just stare during the preaching? Are your eyes locked in looking for the one? We've spent the last 7 weeks to come down to this moment right here. How many of you in here know somebody in your immediate circle of friends or family who are not saved, who do not know Jesus? Let me put these back on. Let me say it again. You know somebody that you come in contact with regularly. They do not have a relationship with Jesus, and you know them to be lost. And if they were to die in an accident, or Jesus was to come back, they would go to hell. How many of you know somebody right now? Right now. Okay. Next. How many of you want to be a part of them finding Jesus? Okay. In just a moment, they're going to turn these lights down, and he can bring the music up. And I want you to form a line, those of you that raised your hand. If we're not activating what he's saying, then we're wasting our own time and his. I want you to come, and I want you to, real quick, I want you to think of who that is, right, like right now, before you move. Think of who that person's first name is. Don't need a last name, first name only. And I want you to come up here, and I want you to write the name. I want you to fold it in half. And I want you to drop it in the box, and our prayer team is going to begin praying over the names of these people. We're not trying to grow a church. We're trying to get people to miss hell and make heaven.
Come on, bro. Amen, bro.
So we're either doing, give me some more. We're either doing this or we're not. We are either a church for our, and we're, remember what I said? This building is not the church. You are the church. So we're either going to be the church,
amen,
or we can be a monument and just be like all the other little churches.
Amen.
Somebody say, what are you saying? This is what I'm saying. We're going to be a biblical church. We're going to be about going after the one. So if you raise your hand and you really want to see them meet Jesus, I'm asking you to write their name, fold it, first name only, drop it in the box, and we're going to begin praying for them. And we're going to see them saved. And then you're going to grab one. You already know what this is. You're going to grab one, and you're going to plant the seed. You don't have to say nothing about, I've been praying for you. Just watch their life. And when a wreck comes to, when you see their life, they hit a wall and something happens, and be like, there is no judgment. But I'm asking you, will you just come to church with me on Sunday? Forget everything you think about church. Will you just come to a gathering with me? Because you putting that in there, and we can pray over it, but if you're not willing to look at the horizon for the one, if you're not willing to search the house for the valuable coin inside the person, what are we doing? What are we doing? I know I'm over 12. Somebody's life is at stake. So will you come? Form a line, and then when everybody's done, Adam's going to come pray. That's it, I'm done. I'm not trying to bring it up, but people in our town need Jesus. They need Jesus. Marriages need to be restored, and it's only going to happen when they come in contact with the restoration power of Jesus Christ. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Write the note, fold the note, drop the note, and pick up an invite card. And we're going to see those that are closest to you meet Jesus Christ. We're going to see marriages restored. We're going to see people who are addicted to pornography. We're going to see people broken in Jesus' name. We're going to see people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol broken in Jesus' name. You might get set free. Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. God, we want to be the church, the ecclesia. God, we want to be the called out ones. We want to be a part of calling people out of darkness and into your light. God, we will jump in the ditch. We'll roll up our sleeves. God, we'll do whatever it takes. We will see the salvation of the Lord. Our families are going to be changed, y'all. And just as Jesus said to Zacchaeus, salvation has come to this house. God, I want more of you. God, I want more of you. God, I want more of you. God, begin paving the way, orchestrating the opportunities for these invites to be made. And God, we will give you the glory. It's not about Release City, it's about Ecclesia. You're going to remember this day. You're going to remember this day. You're going to be a part of somebody's life being changed. This is called groundbreaking work. Father, let us be a part of a city that is set on fire for you. Father, we want to be history makers, God. We want to be history makers in our town, in our city, in our families. Father, break us of our pride. May we live and operate and move humbleness and generosity. Miss Susie, I can't see you. You're in the building. Y'all take this box today to the prayer area. Every time you guys come in here to do cards, whatever y'all do, anytime through the week, you grab that box. And I'm asking for our leadership team to begin praying every day. I didn't tell anybody I was doing this because the Holy Spirit just showed me this week. We will see the salvation of the Lord in the city. Lights up. If you're here today, just those, that's fine. If you're here today and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or you want to make things right today, maybe you've been a Christian, but you haven't been living like one, and you just, this is family, y'all. If we're not doing it here, we're not doing it. If you're here today and you want me to pray for you for salvation, would you just stand to your feet right where you are? I'm not going to ask you to come down here, but would you stand? If you want to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, will you stand? Anybody else? Oh. I wanted this day for so long. The seed, I'm focusing on her because I don't know if you ever had a relationship with Dad, but at the gym, Dad, the seed started with you. And a worshiper. Oh my gosh. Today everything changes. Today everything changes. It all changes. It changes. It changes. It changes. If you got somewhere to be and it's more important, go after it. But it changes. Let's pray this prayer loudly and clearly, not because God is hard of hearing, but because the devil is hard of hearing. And we need him to know today is the day that lives are changed and bondage is broken in Jesus' name. Oh God, I come before you right now, confessing my sins. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And right now, I repent of my sins. I confess my sins. I confess that you are God. I confess that you sent your son Jesus to die for me on the cross at Calvary. And right now, God, come into my life. Come into my heart. Make me new. Make me whole. Restore me now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. And that which the enemy meant to destroy, God will rebuild and God will put back together. In Jesus' name, everything is under the blood. You are changed. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We don't live in condemnation. We live in freedom. What's your name? Jimmy. I need a church body who begin praying for PJ, Tracy, and Jimmy right now, this week. Begin praying for PJ, Tracy, and Jimmy. They just made a life-changing decision because we moved the clock and we weren't interested. And the Bible says, Adam, go. The Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice. I need everybody in this building to get up on your feet and make some noise for Jesus because the devil lost. 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 He lost. He lost. I said the devil lost. that's just the beginning. And that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. We will see the salvation of the Lord in our city. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, somebody say, let it be.
That was good, y'all. That was good.
I'm so proud of you.
I want to give you just a little something before you leave, because that was a power-packed message. I'm normally a guy that keeps my information very close to the chest, and when I sat down over there after telling you guys that story, I'm like, why did I say that, God? Why did I admit one of my mistakes? Why did I put it out there for everybody to know? Was it you or was it me? Was I trying to bring attention to myself? Like, I was analyzing. And he said, no, you forgot the last part. So as I'm listening to Bradley's message, and I'm like, I always ask, God, what do you want me to say when I get up here to close? And he said, you're going to tell him the last part. So when we walked off the ship, I was like, we're clear. Hillsborough County's not waiting right here to arrest me. We're good. They had to scan you one last time as you walk out. And when they scanned mine and Sarah's sign and sale card, his little gadget that he was holding screamed, high alert, high alert, high alert. And me and Sarah laughed at each other, and I was hoping you guys would get a kick out of that, because I did. I'm like, whew, let me out of here. This is the last time they're going to scan me. When you walk out of this door, the enemy's little gadget is screaming, high alert, high alert, high alert, because you're dangerous. And I know how it is when you go out there and you go to invite somebody to church. The enemy says you're not worthy to invite somebody to church. They know your flaws and they know your mess ups. Yeah, and that's your story. And that's the power that God wants you to use to invite somebody to church, is your story. So his gadget screaming high alert right now. So don't let him talk you out of it. When that person crosses your mind and Jesus says that's who you're supposed to invite to church, right there, that's the one. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for the message today. I thank you for your presence in this house today, God. As we walk out of here, Father, don't let the enemy steal it, Lord. Seal it right now. Seal it right now as we walk out, Lord, and help us to keep this boldness. Father, help us to keep this courage that we have, Father, to keep our gaze, just like the prodigals, Father God, to keep our gaze on the horizon. Father, who is it, Lord? All the names on those cards, I'll be the first to lift them up into your throne room right now, God, as we begin to pray over all of those individuals, Father, that crossed our minds, that crossed our hearts this morning. God, let us be a vessel for you, God. It is our honor and it is our privilege to serve your kingdom, God. And I thank you for the privilege of being a part of it. Lord, protect us as we go. Lord, be the light, Father. Be the lamp on top of a hill, Father, that lights our path and our walk this week, Lord. And let it be intentional, Father, for that person, Lord, that we're supposed to invite, that we're supposed to speak hope over, courage over, Father. Bring that person right to our forefront right now, Father, or as we walk this week, Lord, and that's my prayer. And Lord, we love you and we praise you. All the glory, Father, all the honor, all the power is yours, God, and we love you. And God's people said, amen, amen. Have a great week.
Thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to subscribe to our podcast channel, or you can also check out previous messages from our live worship experiences. If you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City, or to just stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church, or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, we believe the best is yet to come.